Today is the 20th of November 2018. I'm interviewing Stuart Nash, the Member of Parliament for Napier, on the life and times of his family. Stuart, would you like to tell us something about your family?
Sure, Frank. Well, both sides of my family, my mother and my father's side, have been in the Bay since about 1865. My father's side arrived in Wairau with the militia in 1863, ended up in Napier in 1865. They were Mayos, became Griffins, and the Nash side arrived here with my grandfather, Clement Walter Nash, in about 1929. He was a local lawyer here, worked for Carlisle MacLean, died of meningitis in the war in 1943 at the age of 36. And my grandmother, Lorna Nash, who was Lorna Griffin before then, had a couple of uncles die in the 1918 influenza epidemic, and was actually one of the earliest female graduates of Otago University. She continued living till about 1988, it would have been. She helped design her house with Louis Hay up on Thompson Road. She was left with three sons when her husband died. My father aged 8, his middle brother aged 6, and the youngest one aged 3. My father was sent away to boarding school at New Plymouth Boys, which was tough for him at the time because his grandfather, a chap called Walter Nash, was a high-profile Labor politician at this time. New Plymouth was hardly the hotbed of socialist activity. It was a school where farmers sent their sons, and he had a bit of a rough time there, but eventually ended up with a law degree, went to London, travelled the world with Walter, actually. Based himself in London, and when Walter came over, he had dinner with Khrushchev, watched the FA Cup final beside the Chancellor of the Exchequer, met the German President, met the Pope, had a great time with Walter. But eventually, he said he was looking around the world. He was going to settle in Canada, but the bar exam was too expensive. Had looked at Rhodesia, but could see that there were going to be problems there. Came back, as a lot of us do, to New Zealand. Had a look around New Zealand and decided the best place to raise a family and practice law was actually Napier. So he ended up back here as a lawyer for 40 years. And his name was James Halwood Nash, but known as Hal Nash to everyone. He was a lawyer at Carlisle MacLean, which then merged into Carlisle Dowling. And the main reason it merged in 1977, he had a triple heart bypass. And they thought that he wouldn't be able to work in a way that he had in the past. As it turned out, that was fine, he could have. But retired as a partner, became what they euphemistically call a consultant, and then retired from the law, would have been in the mid-90s. And he died in, it would have been 2013. My mother grew up in Woodville. The family name there was Peebles. Her father was a Wiley who came from Waitara. His name was Alan Wiley. He had a brother who died in the Second World War. He went to Italy himself, quite old for a soldier. Had three daughters, went over to Italy and came back, resettled in Woodville. As mentioned, married Dorothy Peebles. Peebles had been there for donkey's years. My mother then trained as a school dental nurse, met my father. Rest is history, as they say. Well, there's a lot of history between when they met and obviously when they... But, you know, she did what a lot of mothers do. What a lot of women do, I should say. She left her job and became a full-time mother. Back in the day when, you know, economics allowed that. And I had a very good childhood, actually. I'm the oldest of four. Went to Napier Central School. In fact, my children at the moment are the fifth generation unbroken at Napier Central School, right back to opening day in 1878. Amazing. And so, yeah, I'm very proud of that fact. But I went to Napier Central School. You know, was a good sportsman. Reasonably academic in the sense that, you know, if I do the work, I get the results. If I don't, I don't. But then after there to Napier Intermediate, then Napier Boys High. From Napier Boys High, went to Victoria University, ended up with a Bachelor of Arts in History, then down to Canterbury University, ended up with a postgrad diploma in forestry, then a master's degree in forestry science, went and worked and ended up also doing a graduate diploma in marketing and a master's in management, and then after that a master's in law. But worked for Carter Holt, for Fletcher Challenge, worked in forestry in Japan. Ended up working for a petrochemical importing company for 8 years and importing petrochemicals from mainly Asia and the Middle East around New Zealand, Australia and Singapore. Then went and worked for AUT, Director of Strategic Development, got into Parliament as a List MP based in Napier for 3 years. That was in 2008 when Labor got beaten quite badly. I didn't get back as a List MP and I didn't beat the local MP, even though I reduced his majority more than any Labor candidate against us at the National MP, but then won the seat in 2014 and have been a Member of Parliament for Napier since 2014.
Yes. Going back to your school days, what sports did you play at school?
So I represented Napier as a young fellow in cricket and rugby. Then when I got to Boys High, I continued with rugby but took up tennis. In the end, represented Hawke's Bay in tennis, and yeah, I was an okay rugby player. Those are the two main sports. Went to university and played a little bit of social cricket. But yeah, I'm a member at Hawke's Bay Lawn Tennis. And in fact, I sponsor stuff down there, and you know, my kids again play there. So my sponsorship there says three generations of Nashes at Hawke's Bay Lawn Tennis.
Well, at some stage, you met your wife.
My second wife. My first wife, Kristen, I met at university, and we were married very young. We went to Japan together and worked in forestry in Japan, went to Auckland and lived in Auckland for about 12 years, and then came back to Napier. Politics doesn't suit everyone. So we parted with two children. And she remains a very good friend of mine, and she's a very, very good woman. And with her, I have a daughter, Sophia, who was born in 2002, and a son, Charlie, who was born in 2005. Sophia is, at this point in time, Hawke's Bay's top woman tennis player. Also, the Napier Girls Badminton Champion. Charlie plays representative basketball and tennis and rugby. And Kristen is from Auckland. And then I met Sarah. I met her in Auckland on a blind date. Sarah was from a Hawke's Bay farming family called the Alexanders. In fact, what I say is that when I met Sarah, I phoned up my father, who was a little bit of a local historian, and said that I'm dating a woman whose last name is Alexander from Puketup. And by the time I put down the phone half an hour later, I literally, without a word of a lie, I knew more about her family than she did. And what happened is, it was quite interesting. Sarah said to me, well, look, if you can get past my grandmother, whose name was Ailis Alexander, and she received a QSM or QSO for the work she did with disabled community for many years. If you can get past her, then you know, you've come a long way. So I knocked on Ailis's door. This is when I was campaigning. And I said, my name's Stuart Nash. I'm a local Labour MP here. I understand this is a staunch Labour household. And I think Ailis nearly dropped dead. And I thought, I better recover this. And said, look, I'm actually dating your granddaughter, Sarah. And I went from being very quickly just about to be kicked out to being welcomed in. And Ailis and I became good friends. And with Sarah, I have two children. I have William, who's now six, who was born, goodness me, what year are we? 2012. Yeah. And Isabella, who was born in 2013. And all four of those children have attended Napier Central School, or are attending Napier Central School, as we speak. I also went to Carlisle Kindy, which my kids went to. My four oldest friends are friends I met at Carlisle Kindy. A chap called Rob Lee, who obviously grew up in Napier, and I was best man at his wedding. A guy called Mark Oldershaw, whose father, Ash Oldershaw, was an accountant here for a long time. Mark is actually back. Mark actually was the CEO of the National Party for a while, and when he took on that position, he came and saw me and said, look, I hope this doesn't ruin our friendship. And I said, Mark, we're going to be mates for long after this, and we're still very, very good friends. Kent Parker, whose father was a local engineer here, and Kent has done very well in industrial design. And those three remain very close friends. And then Phil McCall from Napier Boys High, who's done incredibly well, actually. He was probably my best friend at Napier Boys. We worked together in forestry here, pruning pine trees at John Aiken's property out the back of Havelock North. But, the friends that I made at Napier Boys, and, Napier Boys suits a certain type of boy.
Yes, it's interesting that you've been involved with the forestry industry.
Well, I was a forestry spokesperson in Parliament for about 5 years.
Oh, were you?
And I developed what I considered a brilliant policy. And so now, Shane Jones is obviously a Minister of Forestry, but Shane and I talk a lot about forestry, and I've given him a lot of my ideas, and he's seen a lot of those through. But, I did work for Fletcher Challenge in forestry, and I worked for Hard Old Harvey in forestry, and I have a vision for where forestry should be in this country. Unfortunately, that's not a portfolio I hold. But, I'm doing a lot of work at the moment with the prison, Ngāti Kahununu and the regional council around forestry. But I firmly believe that in Napier, we live in the best city in the greatest country in the world. I think this is a fantastic city. Love it.
We all do. Hawke's Bay has been divided for so long. And sometimes parochialism is healthy for communities. But there are times that we're strong together.
Well, I ran an anti-amalgamation campaign, very strong anti-amalgamation. It's always been my view that the city council, the district councils need to be separate and ratepayers need to be able to make decisions about the future of their own city. But I also firmly believe that the economic development side of the region had to be incorporated in a Hawke's Bay Regional Economic Development Agency, and that hasn't happened. But I've always been of the view that the two mayors involved in that campaign would both have to go before our councils and our mayors were ever going to really see eye to eye. And Lawrence Jewell, who was the mayor of Hastings, is obviously gone. He's now in Parliament. And Bill Dalton, who I have immense respect for and have worked very closely with, and I consider him a very good friend. He is going to stand down in 2019, and we'll have a clean break there. And at that point, I will work very closely with both mayors on my vision for economic development in the Bay. And I have been accused a number of times of getting involved in local issues as opposed to central government issues. And it's always been my view is if you want to be a leader in the city, it doesn't matter where you stand. You've got to stand up for the issues that are important for the people of your region.
There's something I don't think a lot of people are aware of, that you are really a rural electorate with an urban base.
Very much so.
It's really reversed what the Hawke's Bay area was like once.
Very much so. Pre-MMP, so I'm the MP for the Napier electorate.
Yes.
Pre-MMP, there was a Napier electorate, which pretty much just included the city of Napier. So post-MMP, when obviously it became more list MPs and less electorate MPs, the Napier electorate grew substantially, but it has continued to grow. And so Wairau now is really the geographic centre of the electorate. And it goes way up to Matawa, and it goes inland. It includes Lake Waikaremoana and all the settlements around there. There's Mahia Peninsula. In fact, at its boundary with Gisborne, it's about 15 minutes into the centre of Gisborne. Yeah. And in fact, I would argue, and I have, but quietly, because I'm not going to die in a ditch over this, it includes a whole lot of communities that have no interest whatsoever with Napier and a lot more interest with Gisborne. So it's a little bit of someone sitting down in Wellington saying, we need to have this many people in the electorate, let's draw the map here. And I don't think they serve the people of Matawai and those sorts of districts particularly well, even though I trick up there about once every 6 months and I hold public meetings up there and I do whatever I can. But it's very much a rural, and it is a conservative electorate. I mean, you know, in 2014, Damien O'Connor and I were the only two this century to win an electorate off national. And in fact, in 2014, actually Damien won his back in 2011 after losing it in 2008. In 2014, Calvin Davis was the only MP to win an electorate off a sitting MP on a Hauwera, and Calvin's my best mate in caucus, and I was the only one to win a seat off the national. I should actually say, in 2002, David Parker won Waimak, which is basically Queenstown. But Damien and I still remain, you know, this is now, 2018, Damien O'Connor and I still remain the only two Labour MPs to win and hold a seat off the Nats this century. And so, you know, as the electorates have grown in size and taken on a really rural rump, you need MPs who can not only do the work in the cities, but also can do the work in the regions and the provinces and the rural part of the electorate.
It doesn't matter what stand you're on, you're Stuart Nash, MP for Napier.
Well, you know, the thing is when I was in opposition, I was in town most Mondays and most Fridays. You know, I'd leave for Wellington on the first Friday and Tuesday and be back the last Friday, Thursday. There were times when I was around the country doing portfolio work in opposition. But in government now, you know, I'm the Minister of Police, of Fisheries, of Revenue and Small Business, but also of the Serious Fraud Office, which falls under police. You're down to Wellington on the first flight on Monday, and it's supposed to be every second Friday in the electorate, but the way it's worked out, it's about one Friday a month. What I do find invaluable is still doing my street corner meetings, and I've done these for 10 years, and this is where I stand. You know, we leaflet an area the week before, we put ads in the Napier Courier or the Napier Mail, as it was back then, and I stand on street corner meetings and I have conversations with Napier people about the issues that are important. And I would say, without exception, every single campaign I have ever run, whether it's been amalgamation, it's fishing, port, law and order, you name it, has been influenced by the meetings I have had on street corners. And I think politicians run a risk, certainly when you're in government and certainly in cabinet, if all they do is listen to the Wellington bubble and forget about the people who put them there. And, you know, for me, those street corner meetings are my reality check. And, you know, you can get caught up in the machinations of Wellington, and you go back and you realise that the issue which is dominating in question time has no resonance whatsoever in Onikau, Marie, Napier Hill, Kurumai, you name it. And so
You're the conduit.
And these are the issues that are important. And I often take stories back from my street corner meetings to cabinet and say, hey, look, this is what the people in Napier have been telling me. And it's not just because I'm reading the paper, it's because I'm standing on a street corner and talking about the issues that are important. And I think that is vital. And I say this to all the new MPs, you want to win your electorate? Do this. And none of them do. It astounds
me. Acting smart and not harder.
Well, exactly, but it's never forgetting who put you in there. I mean, in the last 3 months of our expenses, I actually had the highest domestic travel and the highest outer Wellington expenses because I've just been travelling around the country, a lot on fisheries and police business.
Sure.
But for cabinet ministers, I had the lowest use of VIP transport. And I use it in Wellington, and I use it in Auckland for its convenience. I never use it in the Bay. I still drive around in my ute or my fire engine, because I think if you start using VIP transport and turning up in big grey BMWs around the place here, people will go, it's about time that boy got taught a lesson. So you never forget where you come from. Because if you do that, then and you stop representing the people on the issues that are important, then they will send you a very clear message.
So when do you have time for your family then? Because you're obviously very busy.
And I don't. And that is the one major thing about this. So I'm away pretty much from Monday to Friday. I try and take Saturdays off and watch my kids' sport and spend time with them. Every single Friday, a bag arrives, which would be about 10 kg, and it contains about 12 hours of reading. And on a Sunday morning at about 8:30, I head into my office, and I finish at about midnight. And I take about 2 hours off over the dinner period, and I sometimes go and kick a ball with my son, or play a game of tennis with my daughter, or go down to Ocean Spa with the kids. But that Sunday is pretty much my work day to get ready for the next week. And that doesn't count all the papers I've read. So I very rarely, I don't work on Friday night, unless my wife is out, then I'll try and get through some of the tax papers. And occasionally I'll work on Saturday, and certainly if again my wife's out or not around, then I will do work so I can spend a bit more time on Sunday. But basically I've got about 12 hours worth of reading I've got to do during the weekend.
So you'll be looking forward to Christmas.
I am. So one of my best mates and a guy I flattered with for a couple of years at Canterbury University was a guy called Pete McKinnon, who was Don McKinnon's son. And I remember way before I was involved in politics, I said to Pete, you know, do you remember your father never being around? And he said, yeah, a little bit. But he said, the thing I really remember is the long summer holidays we used to take as a family and Dad being around. Even back then, I thought, that's interesting. So now what I do, and I was a little bit reluctant to do this in my early days, now I just do it. I will finish on, well, this year, because it's a Friday the 21st of December, I will take a month off. And what I've said to my people is after 4 weeks, start giving me papers and I'll read them. There's only one official duty I'm going to perform during that time, and that's a police graduation. And I pride myself that I've been to every single police graduation, the B13 so far, except one, and that's when I was overseas. So I'll do that, but the rest of the time I spend with my kids. But that fifth week, so I'll still spend with my kids in the evenings. I'll be reading all my papers and preparing for the year ahead. But, you know, it'll be 4 or 5, well, the kids will know 5 weeks with Dad being around.
Now, what else haven't you told me about?
Well, you know, there's a lot. I mean, I've worked overseas.
Well, let's hear what maketh the man.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about politics. So I stood in Epsom in 2005. It was the first election I was ever involved in. And you stand in places like Epsom to see how it goes. If you completely stuff it up, then it's not really going to change the composition of the government, because Labour's never going to win Epsom. Okay? It's the richest electorate and one of the most conservative in the country. And in 2005, my team and I door knocked every door that you get into. A lot of gated communities in Epsom, but every door. And what happened then is Labour's party vote in Epsom bubbles around 5,000 to 6,000. That year it spiked at just under 10,000. I was really disappointed we didn't get to 10. And that's dropped again, and has never reached that. It doesn't matter who's doing what in the election. And I put that down to my door knocking and the hard work my team and I put in. And it reinforced to me that, you know, you will never be successful without working hard. And there are very few true safe seats. So then what happened is Paul Swain came to me in 2011 and said, I'm going to stand down. Do you want to stand in Rumataka, which is basically Upper Hutt, which is Walter's old seat? And I looked at this and I said, yes, I'm keen to this. And I didn't play particularly well. I told a couple of people and it got out. Helen Clark, who was the Prime Minister at the time, said, I don't want you to stand in the Hutt. I want you to go back to Napier, which is where Michael Cullen, who was the Deputy Prime Minister and the Finance Minister at the time, not many people know. The whole time he was Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, he lived in Napier. Yep. And I said, well, if that's what you want, Helen, then okay. And so I moved down here, and my wife at the time, Kristen, had got a job. We'd looked at a house. And as I was driving down, Helen called and said, well, you know, I wanted Andrew Little in Upper Hutt. He's decided not to stand. Will you move up there? And my wife said, because we'd gone around Upper Hutt and said, okay, there's some places here we want to live. And she said, no, we're going to Napier. And I'd made promises to the people of Napier, and I love the city. So I decided, okay, I'd come to Napier. And I wasn't given the nomination. I thought Helen would sort this out. But there was a local guy here called Russell Fairbrother who'd taken over from Jeff Brobrow. He'd won the seat and then he lost the seat. Very bitter about that. He had been very bitter and he blamed Helen Clark. This is in 2005. And he'd got very much offside with Michael Cullen's wife. And that had not played out well for him. So when he saw me come down here, I think he saw me as the Labour equivalent of Chris Tremaine, who had won the seat in 2005. And this was someone who was youngish, who was from here, who wanted to take the seat back. And he had always said, there's someone who comes along who's better than me, then I will stand down. Well, he didn't, and he fought incredibly hard. And so I didn't even win the nomination for Napier in 2008. And I was pretty devastated because I'd left a really good job. I'd left a house which was over half an acre in Remerara, which we sold for $2 million, which has since sold for $6 million, to come down here and I didn't even get the nomination for Napier. I was completely done over by the unions. But luckily I got in on the list. But you know, that was hard. And then in my first term, I gave more speeches than any Labour MP. I wrote more policy documents than any Labour MP. And as mentioned, I reduced the sitting members' majority by any Labour candidate standing against the National MP. Mm. And when I arrived in Napier, Chris Tremaine, the local MP, who was a good friend of mine, we were at school together, our families are close, had a majority of 9,300. Mm. In anyone's books, that is a safe national seat. And I just worked incredibly hard. Like I said, I had to take 3 years off because I wasn't returned. So I went and worked in Auckland, first of all, as the investor relations guy at AUT Millennium, which is New Zealand's high performance sports centre. Mm. In a previous life, I had organised the business case for the coming together of AUT University and AUT Millennium, and Millennium Sport and Health. And then I went and ran AUT University's South Campus, which I absolutely loved, and I turned that place around and loved it. And if I hadn't got in 2014, I'd have gone back to that job, and I say that I would have driven through the gate. I would have been glum for a week, driven through the gates, realised I was back, and would have gone on with another. Because I absolutely believe that education is the key. But, you know, like I said, we turned around, and when I say we, my team and I, because it's not just me, I had a brilliant team, we turned around a 9,300 majority to win the seat. And that's what, again, I say to a lot of these new MPs, you want to win? You just have got to knuckle down and work incredibly hard in the electorate because, you know, you don't get there by turning up.
Who stood against you?
In 2011, it was obviously Chris Tremaine. Yeah. 2014, it was a guy called Wayne Walford, who was at the time the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. And Wayne and I became good friends. Yeah. And in 2017, it was a guy called David, I think it's Urban.
747 pilot.
Yes, and David's a really nice guy. Yeah. But the thing I didn't quite understand is David lives in Havelock North. And Napier people are incredibly parochial.
Very, very.
And having someone from Havelock North standing in Napier was never going to work. No. I mean, and David, you know, he did well. He ran a good campaign, and he's a nice guy. On the stump, I sometimes thought he was closer to a Labour candidate than a National one. But I increased my majority. In 2011, Garth McVicar stood. And there was always the charge that Garth split the vote, allowing me to win. And anyone that said that to me, we had done some analysis and believed if Garth hadn't stood, I still would have won. But that didn't matter. When people said, oh, you only won because of Garth McVicar, my response to that was always, who cares? Still won. It's not how you win. It's whether you win or not.
One trip to Honey anyway.
Oh, and he thought he was going to win this. You know, I don't think Richie McCaw could have come in and run an eight-week campaign and won, with all due respect. All I mean is, can't turn up 3 months before an election and hope to win. You've actually got to turn up at least a year beforehand, and we were working 2 years before to win this. And we ran, like I said, a very strong, very, very hard out campaign. Yes. I mean, Walter was in Parliament for 40 years. Yes. He's still New Zealand's third longest serving MP. And what I say is, you know, we talked about the lack of balance of my family. My five-year-old daughter says, you know, I miss you, Daddy. Do you have to go to work? And, you know, we had some friends around for dinner and they asked her, this is my five-year-old, you know, what does your father do for a job? And she said, he's Jacinda's little helper. And I thought that was the best way anyone could ever describe. But the thing is, you know, for me, this is not a job for life. So, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do. And I always say the day that I lose the passion, the day that I lose the belief I can make a difference is the day I leave. So I have a deal with my wife. She'll allow me to follow my passions and then I'll allow her to follow hers. So I'm not going to break Walter's record for longevity, but I am very passionate about this city and this province and growing the wealth of those who work here. And, you know, I work closely, well, like I said, Wayne Walford and I work closely together. And he is, you know, if I was parochial or if I was political about this and I would say he was a candidate, I'm going to have nothing to do with him. Mm. Well, that's not how you develop relationships and get things going in a place like Napier or Hawke's Bay. So, you know, I'll work with anyone. And some of them I know their politics, some of them I don't. But to be honest, I don't care two hoots what someone's politics are. If they're prepared to work hard to make the Bay a better place and Napier a greater city, then I'll work with anyone.
So is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I'd just like to say, look, I had a very happy household, a very happy upbringing, four kids, myself, two sisters and a brother. I had a milk run when I was younger. I left home at 18 to go to university. I was doing flying training in the Air Force for a while and finished officer training in the Air Force and then left to go back to university because I thought that flying was like glorified bus driving. I joined as a joke. And to be honest, it took me about 6 or 7 years. I say joining the Air Force was one of the hardest things I did because it wasn't really something I was passionate about. Leaving was just as hard because in front of me was an opportunity to fly planes and see the world. And I knew in my heart it's not really what I wanted to do, but I'm not saying it was an easy option, But it had certainly provided me with an option where I didn't have to go back and study and be a broke student, and I gave that up. And about a year later, when I was getting calls from my mates who were in the Middle East in the Air Force going, oh, you know, rejoin, it was like, shivers, have I made the wrong decision? Well, I thought I had. But no, you know, I do believe that everything happens for a reason. I'm not a religious man or I'm not a spiritual man, but I do believe that things do happen for a reason. But I also believe that old adage, I don't know who said it, might have been Gary Player, but the harder you work, the luckier you get. And politics for me, you know, has involved a mixture of failure and disappointment. But ultimately, in the end, you know, I am exactly where I want to be. And the reason I am is because I didn't give up when things didn't work and when there were major disappointments. And Kelvin Davis and I, you know, our careers mirror each other. We both got in on the list in 2008. Both didn't get back in 2011. Both won seats in 2014. And both find ourselves in cabinet. Mm. And, you know, he's a very good man and a good friend of mine. My other really good friend is Penny Hinara. But then I've got other, you know, I play for the parliamentary rugby team and love doing that. So at this point, the reason I'm in politics is, you know, I travelled the world as a businessman in a previous life. And apart from being good for business, it was good for the soul. And it made me realise that we live in the greatest country in the world. And I always thought, with my set of skills and my competencies, then the best way I can make a contribution is through politics. And I've been very lucky. I've had some good breaks. Yeah. But as mentioned, I've also had disappointment. And in my view, there are two types of people. There are those who strike hurdles and barriers and they set up cap in front of them and they tell people who pass by how rough their life is. And then there are others who come up against hurdles and barriers and they develop a strategy to get over those and they go forward. And every barrier or obstacle that's put in their way, they look for ways to get around those. Yes. And that's certainly been the story of my political life. But, you know, I say that every now and again you have a bad day or a bad week and you sit in cabinet and you just look around and you go, we're changing the world. You know, yes. We really are. And this is why we're here. We're making life better for a whole lot of Kiwis. And it's an absolute privilege and a pleasure. And it's always been a privilege and a pleasure to serve in cabinet. And if you forget the fact that it's a privilege being in parliament, then it's time to leave.
Well, thank you, Stuart. Thank you for the contribution that you're making to not only your electorate, but the rest of the country. You know, you do have a big profile, and good luck.
Thank you.
And good holidays.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm going to enjoy it, there's no doubt about that.